DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Good to have you with us for our program today. Of course, Tuesdays around here means Marlowe's Tavern Tell All Tuesdays. We'll have Jeff Sintel coming up in a few minutes. A lot of recruiting stuff to kind of get into with Jeff. The latest on Demetrius Robertson, we'll do some of that. Kind of where things go with Legend Cavazos, who makes his announcement tomorrow. We addressed that a bit yesterday on Dog Nation Daily. So we'll do a lot of that with Jeff Sintel here coming up in a few minutes. It's going to be fully loaded on that front. Before we get to that, we really haven't checked in, I guess, on the Georgia quarterback situation too much in the last few days. So let's spend at least a little bit of time doing that right now. And, you know, I'm a big believer that when Jake Fromm, Justin Fields finally plays out this summer for real in the sort of intense competition that leads up to the start of the regular season, I think it's going to be a fun one. I think it's going to be an intense competition, even if I haven't really wavered in the thought that I still believe that Jake Fromm is Georgia's starting quarterback. I just think he's too good to unseat. I think a year older makes him a year better, and I think that is a real source of value for Georgia. I think one of the reasons why Georgia's a threat to repeat as SEC champions and be back in the college football playoff here for 2018 is largely because of Jake Fromm. If I believe that's true, then it stands to reason. I don't think he's going to be unseated by Justin Fields anytime soon. But this is one of those kind of sort of unique storylines in college football where more than one thing can be true at the same time. While Jake Fromm is as rock solid as a starting quarterback can be, Justin Fields is a pretty intriguing prospect as right now a backup and eventually probably a star in his own right. And this year, you know, the same way we talked a year ago about Jake Fromm pushing Jacob Eason, and that became this buzzword phrase, it almost became such a cliche that it sort of veered in the territory of coach speak, but it really probably is true that you know, having a really quality backup or a really energetic freshman does push everybody to be a little bit better. In much the same way that Jake Fromm pushed Jacob Eason a year ago, Justin Fields probably will push Jake Fromm a bit here in 2018. An example of how maybe that's already happening, or maybe this is just intrinsic motivation on the part of both these guys. We don't really know that for sure. That's probably a bigger phrase even than I ought to be using. But pretty clearly, we see two guys pretty committed to the competition already, even though we're still a few weeks away from actual practices beginning. Right now, Jake Fromm is at the Manning Passing Academy. That's the event that takes place in Louisiana each year. It's sort of a rite of passage for the big-time quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks go there and make a great name for themselves as future NFL stars, sort of validated and vouched by the Manning family, the sort of the first family of quarterbacking. Other quarterbacks like Johnny Manziel kind of go in there and get into a little bit of troubles. So that's sort of a different story for a different time. But a lot of great quarterbacks over the years have been at the Manning Passing Academy. Fromm is there right now. And, you know, there are a couple great interviews on the internet with Fromm from the Manning Passing Academy. I'm going to put links to them both, or really as many of them as I can find, in our show page when we post the podcast here at DogNation.com later on today. Of Fromm kind of talking about a wide-ranging number of subjects, sort of the stately veteran now as he transitions from his freshman season to his sophomore season. But as a little bit of a taste of what I'm going to put on the website later on, let me let you hear from Jake Fromm, speaking to the New Orleans Times-Picayune, about the notion of, you know, getting better and what he did last year and what he wants to do more of here in 2018. This is the kind of thing that if you're a Georgia fan, I think you like hearing from Fromm. He's clearly got a plan for what he wants to improve on, and here's proof of that.
I've been tough on myself, you know, really trying to become a better athlete. You always want to get bigger, faster, stronger, trying to get better throwing on the run and this and that. And just trying to kind of attack those things that you kind of have a plan on what you want to get better on, and, you know, trying to go attack those things every day. Kind of make a mental note, you know, kind of during your workout on what you want to work on, and you got to have a plan. And just trying to follow the plan, trying to get better every day. Hopefully it'll kind of work out in the fall.
I think that Fromm's a thoughtful guy, so it's easy for me to believe him, take him at his word when he says, I've got mental notes of what I want to work on. He, you know, specifically cites throwing on the run. That's something I need to do more of here this season. It's sort of easy to understand why that is, as Georgia incorporates more of like the RPO stuff into the offense. We've sort of heard some of that talk being done, and it's easy to understand why Fromm, being a quarterback who throws on the run, sort of the next step from a guy last year who kind of made quick early decisions from sort of a flat-footed spot in terms of where he wanted to deliver the football, kind of becoming more of a quarterback in full here in 2018. It's sort of easy to understand why Fromm might feel that way, and it's sort of interesting to hear him go into that sort of specific detail about exactly what he is working on. We don't know for sure if, as I said a moment ago, if all of this is because he feels pushed by Justin Fields or if this is just Jake Fromm pushing himself, but clearly Jake Fromm, even during this offseason, is doing the work necessary to get better, and Georgia fans are obviously going to like that. But at the same time that Jake Fromm is doing all of that, you've got Justin Fields doing his own version of this. Now, this is not audio that can be played, so if you're a radio listener or a podcast listener, you're not going to get the full effect of this, but I'll do my best to describe it. It is from Justin Fields' own Instagram account here, and you see a picture of Fields and the legendary, I think it's not too bold of a term to say, former Clemson quarterback, current Houston Texans quarterback, Deshaun Watson, working with a personal quarterback coach here. Obviously, you know, we're going to read a little bit too much into a picture here, but pretty clearly, this is sort of visual proof. If for those of you that are watching it, you can see the visual proof. This is sort of visual proof of Justin Fields doing his own version of exactly what Jake Fromm is doing, which is taking the time in the offseason to do everything he can to get better, which once again kind of excites you about the future of Justin Fields in a Georgia uniform. And obviously, the irony of the Fields picture with Deshaun Watson can't really be ignored here, because I think for some Georgia fans, they view the Justin Fields era as a chance to sort of correct a record that was kind of fouled up during Deshaun Watson's time. Maybe a misunderstanding of how great Watson was going to turn out being for Clemson. It was painful for a lot of Georgia fans to see a guy from Gainesville, Georgia. And trust me, that is my hometown. I grew up in Hall County. I grew up in Gainesville. That is Bulldog country, you know, as much as one area possibly can be. And to allow a quarterback from Gainesville to end up at Clemson, winning national championships there for the Tigers, that hurts a lot of Georgia fans. Hurts the feelings, for lack of a better phrase, and they don't want to see the same kind of thing from an in-state quarterback like Justin Fields, who also has sort of been thought to have kind of a similar skill set. They don't want to see the same thing happen with Justin Fields here, you know, 2018 and beyond, so it's kind of interesting that those two quarterbacks show up there in the same picture as they, you know, are working together, hanging out together, and Justin Fields doing everything he can to get better. So cool audio from Jake Fromm, cool video there or a photo there from Justin Fields, and an example of this competition that will be ongoing this summer. Now, for what it's worth, and to the credit of both these guys, they have both been very open about the idea of competing against each other since the word go. I mean, Jake Fromm has been very clear that just the same way that he pushed Jacob Eason a year ago and made a name for himself before he even took his first college snap, Jake Fromm expects the same kind of thing from Justin Fields here starting this summer. Here is Jake Fromm on that subject.
I expect nothing, you know, but Justin to come out and compete. You know, everybody in that quarterback room is competing and working really hard. And at the end of the day, you know, we're making the team a lot better. And any way we can help the team as a room and as a unit, we're going to do it.
I think that is true. I think that the way that Jake Fromm says there, that it makes the entire team better. We know this. We know that quarterback, and it's a cliche, but it's a cliche that's well-earned. Quarterback becomes, in a lot of ways, the leader of the program that sort of paces the development of every other position as well. When they look into a summer and see the dedication and devotion that Jake Fromm and Justin Fields are showing, it's only more of a challenge to the offensive linemen to make sure they're spending just as much time in the weight room. The wide receivers to make sure they're spending just as much time running crisper routes. The defensive guys much the same way there. I think that Jake Fromm is correct when he says that he and Fields potentially set the tone for the entire team. And on the notion of Jake Fromm saying that he expects to be pushed and competed by and competed with Justin Fields has admitted himself in the past, that's exactly what he intends to do.
When choosing a college, you can't really worry about who's in front of you or who's played before you or anything like that. I'm not afraid to compete against anyone, so competition can only make you better. Iron sharpens iron, so my goal is just to go in there and just compete my butt off and work hard.
Listen, the coolest thing for me this offseason so far is, and obviously I monitor these comments very closely on a Dog Nation every single day, whether it be people who comment live during our video of Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, people who put comments in the posts that get written here at DogNation.com or at the forum at forum.dognation.com, wherever Georgia fans are congregating and talking about all this. What I think has been really cool so far this offseason is what is right now a very potentially intense competition has not veered in the direction of a controversy. You haven't seen Georgia fans sort of divide up in different factions thus far. I think for the most part, Dog Nation's been really united here. I think Dog Nation, the fan base here, is firmly behind the belief that Georgia has two good quarterbacks. And a lot of good players is never a bad thing. Having two good quarterbacks for Georgia right now only sets to make the program better, both in the short term and in the long term. This is going to be fun to watch play out this summer. Justin Fields is going to show you some flashes of the great quarterback he might one day be. I think that Jake Fromm is also going to show you the maturity that he's developed as a sophomore in comparison to where he was a year ago. And at different times of the season, both guys may have their opportunity to shine here. But ultimately, how this thing eventually plays out may be a mystery to be solved at a later time. But for now, I think Georgia fans will just enjoy what they have. Two very good quarterbacks working hard to become even better. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us. No matter how you get to our program, of course, we're on video, and we love it when you watch us on video and comment live during the show, whether it be on the Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page, or the Dog Nation Twitter feed. We're live there every morning for you at 10 a.m. We're also available on the radio at noon with our friends in the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love being there and being a part of our radio audience each and every day on 960 The Ref. And in podcast form, kind of an on-demand way to listen to the program audio-wise, whether it be Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcasts, or the Android users, the world-famous DogNation.com, SoundCloud. We just want to make Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza as easy for you to find as we possibly can. And hope by now Marco's Pizza is easy for you to find. You can go to Marco's.com to find the Marco's nearest you and all the great special offers they have as they invite you to say hello, Primo, this summer. One of the things that I love doing, especially when you're at the pool or sitting at the back deck or on the front porch or wherever you're going to get together with family and friends here this summer, is this great offer. Two medium, two-topping pizzas right now, just $6.99 each. That is a great offer, a great deal on authentic Italian pizza. I'm talking about the Giammarco family recipe in the sauce, the three cheeses blended, melted together on the authentic Italian crust. We love Marco's Pizza here at Dog Nation Daily. I've heard from so many of you who feel the exact same way, and that really thrills me to know that that's true. A very special thank you to Marco's Pizza for making Dog Nation Daily possible each and every day. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to welcome in Jeff Sintel to the program. We will talk a lot of UGA recruiting with Jeff, a lot of news to get to in terms of decisions about to be made, some decisions that were recently made, and kind of some interesting ways in which Georgia's rivals are trying to stir the pot here a bit when it comes to the 2019 class. We'll tell you all about that when Jeff Sintel joins us in a moment. Before we get to that, if you missed yesterday's show, I want you to bring you up to speed on a big announcement that Dog Nation made yesterday. Not just Dog Nation Daily, but the entire website here, DogNation.com. As promised, we're going to get bigger and better here for the 2018 season, bringing in a well-known, award-winning sports writer, Mike Griffith, to add to our Georgia coverage here at DogNation.com. This is a guy that is really raring to go to be on the UGAB and to get to know more of you as he comments on Facebook Live videos and participates in the Dog Nation forum. This is a guy who's really excited about all of this. In fact, he said that yesterday about his experience in getting to know Georgia fans thus far. He says it's been great. Here's Mike.
You know, when you've got a program like Georgia that everybody's behind, an entire state is behind, really a region. I mean, there's Bulldogs fans everywhere. You know, I've found that just on Twitter in the last 24 hours. When people are that intrigued by it and there's that much competition as a writer, as a journalist, you can't wait to tell those stories. You know, Georgia's recruiting guys, you know, they could go anywhere in the country, but they're choosing Georgia because they want to go somewhere where they can win a championship, not necessarily because they've been promised playing time or for any other ulterior motive. It's because they already believe they're the best. They believe they would start anywhere they would go in the country, but they're choosing Georgia because they think that's their best route to a championship and because they believe in the staff and the things that Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker are doing there.
I love what Mike says there at the beginning about the reputation that Georgia fans have, and obviously that played out last season with the big trip to South Bend or the thousands upon thousands went to the Rose Bowl and kind of everything in between there. Georgia fans made a big name for themselves. Dog Nation as a fan base, I think, saw its stature and reputation really grow in 2017, and that's clearly something that Mike Griffith has noticed. Something else that Mike has noticed as he gets ready to join Dog Nation is he's coming in, he thinks, at the right time. Here, he clearly sees a Georgia program on the rise. Here is more from Mike on that.
You know, it looks like a program that's on the cusp of the dynasty here. Really, when I saw Georgia during the regular season, they reminded me a lot of the great USC teams that Pete Carroll had. I mean, it looked like a team that had all the bases covered. And, you know, from the top on, from the top down, from the coaching staff to the amount of talent, and really for a deserving fan base, I've thought for decades, really, that, you know, I don't want to call Georgia a sleeping giant because they've been awake plenty. I covered Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, actually, for the Honolulu Advertiser back in 2008, and I said, man, this is a heck of a program, and they're always good, but you just kept thinking, man, this is a program that could win multiple national titles if things got right, and it certainly looks like Kirby Smart has things right.
And then one more quick one from Mike Griffith here to kind of give you an idea of his mindset, his feelings of gratitude about being a part of what we've all grown to believe is a very special website and a very special group of fans here at Dog Nation. Mike clearly excited about that. Here's more from him on that subject.
I wake up every day to talk about college football. It's who I am and what I do, and I enjoy it. And, you know, maybe one of these days I'll have to grow up, but so far I haven't. You know, I've gotten to live out a dream and cover the greatest college coaches and greatest college programs at the right times in the nation. And, you know, I feel so blessed.
I mean, how can you not love that attitude from Mike Griffith? I think he's going to be a great addition to our family here at Dog Nation. I think you're going to grow to know him and grow to love him, and he's going to be a lot of fun to read and have as a guest here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, in the days to come. For now, though, let's get ready to transition to Jeff Sintel. It's a Marlowe's Tavern Tell All Tuesday. Let's find out about all the latest when it comes to UGA recruiting.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Well, Jeff Sintel, as I get ready to say hello to you as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all here on this Tuesday, I have to tell you off the top, you're going to be very jealous of me. I had a great, great time at Marlowe's Tavern on Friday. You know, Jeff, they got a brand new summer menu, some special items for kind of summer only. You know, Marco's likes to kind of keep it, I should say Marlowe's Tavern likes to kind of keep it fresh here during the summer. And they brought the flatbread back, Jeff. There was a great, great new flatbread on the menu there with chicken and shrimp and a lot of things like that. It was a great, great lunch at Marlowe's Tavern on Friday, Jeff. And I know you're very sad that you missed it.
Twisting the knife there, Brendan, a little bit right there. Well, I know that was a great move, especially what everybody does at Marlowe's with all their new menu collection that they come out with. Brendan, what would you say was the five-star of that menu palette that you got to sample on Friday?
Well, it was probably some of the cocktails, to be honest with you, because, you know, one of the things for me on Friday when I get to go to Marlowe's is the fact that I don't have, you know, SEC Country Live do that afternoon. I'm essentially off once Friday afternoon rolls around, so I was able to have a nice watermelon margarita. There were a lot of things like that that were kind of flowing around. That was kind of the special highlight for me. Is it was sort of a while it was a business lunch, and I use that in air quotes, it was also a chance to kind of loosen up with our friends from Marlowe's over there, which made a lot of fun.
And using air quotes with a business lunch and a unwinding session on Friday, man. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And, hey, man, don't be a stranger. Share those invites around the nation, man, sometime next time one of those comes around.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's talk a little recruiting here. Devontae Dobbs is the guy we've mentioned before. Five-star offensive lineman. You know, you've kind of said, hey, maybe more of an elite guard than a true tackle, which kind of got me, I guess, off the scent on him anyway, given Georgia's depth right now at the interior offensive line. He does commit to Michigan State. Was this one that Georgia was ever really in on all that much? There had to be some interest because, you know, you'd written about him a little bit at DogNation.com, but this never really seemed to get off the ground too much, right?
Well, I do like this kid. He's made a couple of trips to Athens, one last summer and then one again this spring. And this was, really interesting young man, Brandon. I think the next time I write about a young man that wants to study the science of dreams and dream interpretation will be the second time, because you remember recruiting a young man with a personality like this one. And I even knew a couple of his mentors that looked pretty well, and they told me that Georgia was one of those schools that would kind of fall into the top three, top four, that was just kind of right there with Devontae Dobbs. But he makes the decision to stay home, to stay and play for Michigan State. And that's usually what should happen when a program recruits a top-rated prospect in their backyard, especially one, you know, that what it means for Georgia fans basically is it's like names like Darius Thomas, names like Warren McClendon especially. It kind of puts more onus on names like that to kind of round out the offensive line board for Georgia in the class of 2019. And McClendon was kind of a guy that I saw a lot like Dobbs, one of those hybrids, kind of those flex offensive linemen that could play either a guard or a tackle in the pinch. And as much as everybody likes to put all these offensive linemen these days in a really nice box and say they have to be 6 feet, 6 inches, or six feet, 5 inches, and about 310, 315 pounds. Everyone should remember the example set by Isaiah Wynn at Georgia over his last two seasons. I think Georgia lost maybe two ball games while Isaiah Wynn started at left tackle for Georgia, and he's proof right there. First round money came his way this week that you don't need to be 6'5 and 315 coming out of high school to hold down the blind side in the SEC.
It's our Marlow's Tavern tell-all every Tuesday here on Dog Nation Daily with Jeff Sintel as we get the latest on UGA recruiting. And speaking of Marlow's Tavern, I told you I was there on Friday. One of the cool things that Marlow's is doing right now for the summer, they've teamed up with a local Atlanta brewery, Scofflaw Brewery, which is a great brewery. A lot of fun with the folks at Scofflaw. And they've teamed up with Marlow's Tavern for a special IPA that you can only get at Marlow's Tavern, of course, at Scofflaw Brewery as well. It's the Marlow's Tavern Blindside IPA, which comes with like a little twist of citrus in there. It is a refreshing summer beer, and it is available at Marlow's Tavern, a Marlow's Tavern exclusive, as they team up with Scofflaw Brewery for that. So that is a lot of fun. I enjoyed that on Friday. When you go to Marlow's Tavern for the summer menu and to kind of kick back and relax during the summer, you're going to enjoy that as well. Jeff, another thing that summer is all about, in addition to the special menu at Marlow's Tavern, is also some of these recruiting decisions. We are a day away from Legend Cavazos, the four-star safety from IMG Academy, making his choice. I guess the smart money would say it's a Ohio State-Georgia battle. I know there's been a lot of movement with Cavazos and Ohio State as of late. Can you handicap this one for us at all here, about a day or so away from Legend Cavazos making his decision? Is this that sort of 50-50 split between UJ and Ohio State? Is there thought to be a clubhouse leader here? What is the latest on what you've called a very well-connected recruit, Legend Cavazos, a lot of good friends who are elite recruits themselves? What's the latest on Cavazos in Georgia before his June 27th decision?
Well, I think it's kind of went round and round a little bit. I guess Ohio State was kind of the team to beat for a long time, and then Georgia overtook that with two really strong visits, one in March and then one in for G-Day. And it kind of became very tight. Georgia was the leader there for a little bit. And then another trip to Ohio State happened earlier this summer, and that was followed by a back-to-back visit to Georgia. And it just kind of seems that Ohio State was always inching ahead, and then Georgia was kind of closing. If you want to think about handicapping the race, there's a strong family connection with Urban Meyer back when he was a Cub assistant coach, and he was recruiting as an assistant for Notre Dame. He was recruiting Dallas, Carter High in Dallas, when Legend's father, C.J. Cavazos, was an assistant coach there. So that's a longstanding relationship to think about. But then again, C.J. Cavazos has two of his best friends, Brandon, if you want to talk about connected even on the from the father's side, two of his best friends are NFL head coaches. That's Anthony Lynn of the Chargers and Todd Bowles of the Arizona Cardinals. So they tell him a lot of great things about Mel Tucker, Mel Tucker the coach, Mel Tucker the developer of defensive backs, and Mel Tucker the coordinator. So this is a very close race. He's going to announce it, I believe, on his way or right at the Rivals five-star challenge. That's also going on this week. It's a busy week for recruiting. A lot of guys in the industry are definitely packing up and getting ready. I'll be in Texas at the Nike opening beginning on Friday of this week to cover that event for DogNation.com. Lots of UGA commitments are out there. In fact, four of them are also stacked on the same team. You're going to be rooting, I guess, Brandon, and all the nation will be rooting for Team Boomin,
yeah,
out in Frisco, Texas at the Star this weekend, because that's Nolan Smith, Rylan Godey, Jaden Hazelwood, and Dominic Blaylock, plus a couple of their friends from Auburn that everybody knows very well from listening to this program.
Yeah, I actually want to talk to you about that a little bit later on, because I think it's kind of interesting that you've got those Auburn guys, those Georgia guys kind of teamed up together on the same team for that opening event. We'll do that here coming up in just a moment as a part of our Marlow's Tavern tell-all. By the way, speaking of Marlow's Tavern, also, if you're a fan of beef brisket, Marlow's Tavern for its special summer menu has also got a brand new beef brisket sandwich on the menu. How about some nice savory beef brisket and a buttery brioche bun? It's one of the reasons why you want to check out Marlow's Tavern here this summer. When we talk about Legend Cavazos, though, who we just mentioned a moment ago, it also kind of gets me thinking about another safety that we really haven't talked about in a while here. That's a guy that's a pretty popular topic on the forum at forum.dognation.com. I'm talking about the four-star safety from Texas, Lewis Cine. What is any update on UGA and Cine here? We really haven't discussed him on our show in a while.
Yeah, he's been taking his officials. He's been visiting. He took his official visit to Penn State. Astute Dog Nation listeners will know that that's the connection. He actually moved from the East Coast in Massachusetts down to Cedar Hill, Texas, to play for Trinity, and that's a squad that's got the really tight connection there with Deion Sanders. He's taken an official visit to Michigan lately as well, but Georgia remains one of those teams that he's going to save one of his later official visits for. I actually got some coverage on Lewis Cine coming up in the near future, but okay. You want to talk about what Georgia needs, and you had to put up a list of all the top targets, and we often do, that Georgia's looking at for the remainder of the balance of the class of 2019. His name would definitely be prominently up there as well.
You got a really good intel the other day about Micaiah Tung, who I guess I'm going to call a four-star athlete from University Lab, which is a primetime program in the state of Louisiana. You know, I know that Tung and his family told you that they really see themselves, or they see Mekhi as a wide receiver at the next level. I got to tell you, though, as a fan, Jeff, this is just my opinion, at 6'2", 215 pounds, which I believe you have him listed at, I sure do like the idea of that young man potentially playing defensive back. Am I wrong for feeling that way?
You probably, in your heart of hearts, Brandon, his father was a safety. And an NFL safety for 9 seasons at that, actually 10 seasons at that, but 6'2", 215, actually has a lot of versatility. And it's one of those players that Georgia looks at and says, okay, we really need another receiver that's bigger, that can handle things in the passing game in terms of blocking, maybe that tight end type that's a little bit faster, can get downfield and beat safeties in man coverage. But also, if that doesn't work out, Georgia's kind of given him the luxury of saying, hey, if you come here, we'll start you out at wide receiver. If that doesn't work, you're going to make our team better at defensive back, potentially outside linebacker. And you got to look at this kid whose father already says is faster and bigger than he was when he was in the NFL. And he already thinks this young man is advanced as to where he was as a prospect at that same age. And you're talking about a guy that spends 10 seasons in the NFL. That is a very rare athlete that spends that amount of time playing in the NFL. So, Tung's a guy. He's going to make his top three known fairly soon. I do expect Georgia to be on there, and he's looking to make his decision prior to his senior season, and that would be September-ish when he makes his decision.
We had huge news last week when former UGA recruiting target, the five-star wide receiver Demetrius Robertson, who had gone to Cal and had a very good freshman season after being injured in 2017, or then became injured in 2017. Well, he announced he was going to transfer from Cal last week, and Jeff, we really haven't heard a whole lot since then. It seems like the Robertson family here has kind of gone silent a bit, I guess. I mean, is that kind of your read on this too, that after making the announcement they have kind of gone into the bunker here just a bit?
Well, I think maybe the smart thing to do here, there's no pun intended there, Brandon. I think the smart thing there to do for them is to kind of conduct this recruiting a little more low profile. Maybe conduct this recruiting the way the last 2 or 3 weeks of the decision way back in, I think that was May the 1st of 2016 when all that went down. Kind of conduct things a little bit like that, a little bit on the DL. I have had communications with the family, and they basically say the following: nothing is really set yet, nothing has been determined yet. Of course, he's making the move back to Georgia for personal and family reasons, and there's a case there where I know everybody wants to think: how can Georgia, if it is Georgia, how can Georgia get him on campus and have him play right away in 2018? You do have to remember that he's already received a medical red shirt for 2017. And I think in the business here, when you're looking at Demetrius Robertson, it's not going to matter how many red shirt seasons he gets. He you have to remember he is a special talent, and he is also only 1 year away from being able to come out and join the NFL draft in the draft class of 2019. And if there are any sort of personal problems or family hardships to think about, you can't think that they won't take a good look if they have a chance to at the NFL draft in the next coming years.
It is our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all here on Dog Nation Daily. And you made mention of this a moment ago, and I did want to ask you about this. So you're leaving. You'll be in Friday in Frisco, Texas for the opening, which is historically sort of the biggest, I think, recruiting event of the summer. It's been in Oregon for a number of years. It'll be in Texas here this year. You know, the majority of the major league recruits are going to be there. And as you made mention of, there's been some chatter online about the fact that some of the Georgia commits and the Auburn commits are kind of teamed up together on the same team here. You'll have Nix, the Auburn quarterback commit, throwing to Jay Nazelwood, Owen Popoe, and Nolan Smith, and all these guys kind of on the same team. And, Jeff, on behalf of Georgia fans, I guess I have to admit I'm not quite sure how to feel about that. How should I feel about that?
Well, Brandon, I don't think there'll be a lot of you know, lots of times in years past, what the opening would do is they would kind of bury some leans so they can hang out among a lot of other Georgia targets. You'll remember the Alpha Speed a few years back had guys like Malik Herring on there, Tenille Carter on there, when they weren't even public Georgia commits yet. Now, having said this, Brandon, I'm sure you're going to scurry to the roster and wonder why in the world a N'Kobe Dean, why in the world a Trevon Walker are not on this list as well. But
fair questions.
Sometimes I can say, Brandon, that they can only squeeze so many onto the roster at one time. I don't think that this has to do much of anything about subterfuge with George Pickens, the Auburn committed wide receiver who's also on the team booming, and also a gentleman, I think you remember the name, Brandon, Owen Papo. I think that you might recall that name from recruiting sagas a long time ago in a recruiting storyline far, far away. I just think these are great guys, great fits. These guys know each other very well, and you can see a lot of good work coming out of, I think, Brandon. I'm going to make sure I can stream whenever possible so everybody on the Dog Nation Facebook page can see it. The tantalizing prospects of seeing Jaden Hazelwood and Dominic Blaylock on the same side of a pass pattern with an elite quarterback throwing to them as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought for sure. All right, can we finish up with this? And this is somewhat self-serving, Jeff, I know, and I'll allow you to kind of, I guess, be more objective about a subject that's sort of an irritation for me. Keith Niebuhr, a good reporter from 24/7 Sports, had a report about, I guess, Auburn recruiting Trevon Walker as a two-sport star, that Bruce Pearl's kind of got involved as a bit of a basketball recruiter for Walker, I guess. And, you know, this kind of stuff drives me crazy because, well, I guess it is fair to say we have seen two sports stars before. Julius Peppers, I guess, what played a little bit of basketball for North Carolina. The thought that Trevon Walker, if he wants to be a truly elite defensive tackle in the SEC and then go on to be, you know, a first-round pick in the NFL, the kind of thing they would expect to do, the thought that he could spend time during the winter, during the spring, you know, not working in the weight room, not working on football, spending some time working on basketball and being as good as he wants to be, I mean, that's a fool's errand, correct?
Well, I would say this is simply a mid-June storyline, which I think takes place because I think Trevon Walker was on campus at Auburn over the last week with his basketball camp. The Upson Lee basketball team is a tremendous program in the state of Georgia. I think they haven't lost a game in two seasons. They've won a couple of state titles. But the premise of your point, Brandon, is valid. I can see why there's an irritation there. The only thing that Trevon Walker would do during the winter of his college career by playing basketball is shed a lot of weight, and that's the weight he needs to get ready to take care of the rigors of the SEC in the trenches and also if he preps for a potential pro career. I just think it's a mid-June storyline. It's a convenient storyline with a five-star prospect, and I do think when we talk about all those top target lists, and I know everybody likes to point the message board fingers at the defensive line recruiting, well, I would say the zenith of all the, maybe the intersection of the worry and the reality would be the name Trevon Walker. He is somebody that this staff absolutely has to nail down to have everyone feel a lot better about recruiting at the defensive line spot.
I guess my only final point on this is, and maybe this is just the fan in me speaking, but it seems like there's certain programs that seem to continually tell recruits what they want to hear. Hey, Trey Bishop, come here, you can play quarterback. Trayvon Walker, come here, you can play basketball. There seem to be certain programs that seem to find a way to sort of like whatever they think recruits want to hear, they find a way to say whatever that is, and maybe we'll just leave that at that. But, Jeff, that's certainly the perception that I have sometimes.
Brandon, I got one more for you. Let's get an off-the-cuff Brandon Adams, gets in my gut, Marlowe's tell-all. Let's end the segment with this. I want to know, Brandon, what are the five or maybe the three or four programs that immediately get in your gut or get in your crawl and irritate you about their recruiting tactics? I'm sure this will not be hard. You will not be hard to come up with at least one or two names.
I absolutely can. Auburn for the aforementioned reasons. Alabama, seemingly because when they miss out on a prospect, somehow we magically find out a reason why Alabama didn't want them, that particular prospect. I find that to be very distasteful. And it's really those two probably more than anything else that kind of bother me there a bit, but I'm sure that there are probably other reasons. Luckily, from a Georgia perspective right now, you don't have too many reasons to be mad at Tennessee or Florida when it comes to recruiting because they're obviously not even a speck on the windshield at the moment.
I think they irritate you, Brandon, when they take away players that are on your radar. I was expecting a little bit of a purple and orange Clemson hue in your answer, though,
yeah.
Because they are pillaging away a lot of the state's finest at defensive back and also offensive tackle of late.
I have to admit, it's begrudging respect that I have for Dabo Swinney. He somehow is figuring out a way to really spin a yarn there because there are a lot of recruits that really like what he's selling there at Clemson. So maybe begrudging respect from me towards Dabo Swinney, is that fair to say?
Man, that is a great attitude, Brandon. The world needs more people like you. Begrudging respect towards border rivals. The world is a happier place today.
All right, let's get together, Jeff. Let's do a little lunch here very soon in Marlowe's Tavern. I'll treat you to their summer menu. How does that sound?
Sounds good, Brandon. Have yourself a good week, sir.
See you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff there from Jeff Sintel. And, yeah, if you haven't checked out the Marlowe's Tavern summer menu, you got to make sure you do that. They got a Kansas City strip steak on the menu right now. That's really good stuff. I'll be telling you a lot more about that as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all every Tuesday. We do that here on Dog Nation Daily. For now, though, it's time to roll on and do our SEC through. And I thought that Tom Fornelli had a really interesting piece at CBSSports.com, kind of looking at some of the gambling trends that have existed in the SEC going back to 2008. And I realized that, you know, anytime you bring up the notion of point spreads or gambling, things like that, you know, there are some people that follow this stuff very closely, and they like getting action down on games every single Saturday. There are other people who don't ever place bets and don't find that to be very interesting. But even if you're not the kind of person who places bets, to me there's always something semi-interesting about gambling data because, as I've said before, the bookmakers, whether it be the folks in Vegas, the online people, whatever, you know, they are sort of the elixir to the sort of hot take culture that sort of dominates sports media because they are actually forced to put their money where their mouth is. Bettors much the same way. When a person puts a bet down, if it's wrong, they're taking your money. Same way with Vegas. If they've got a sloppy line, if they've got something that's not, you know, well booked, you're going to be vulnerable on one side of this. So the gambling community, in terms of its trends and its data and kind of what it thinks season to season, year to year, pretty interesting to me because I think there's actually some substance behind it because there's money on the line for being wrong. With that in mind, what Fornelli did at CBS Sports is go back and look since 2008 at some trends in the SEC, and it's kind of funny to think about how some of this really matches up with, even if you didn't know the trends, even if you didn't know the data, even if you've never placed a bet before on a game in your life, some of this is what you would expect it to be. Let me start with this. Tom Fornelli mentions about South Carolina. Now, what is it that typically Georgia fans think about South Carolina? Oh, tough game. Early in the year, which it used to be and now is back to being again, this can be a scary game for Georgia. Going to Williams-Brice Stadium can be a scary game for UGA. That's sort of a typical conversation that Georgia fans can kind of have from time to time. I don't happen to believe that necessarily for this year, but that's certainly a conversation that you hear a lot of Georgia fans express, especially longtime Georgia fans that can remember some of those nail-biting games in the early 2000s back at South Carolina. This is one that some Georgia fans have a tendency to sort of talk themselves into being worried about. Well, the numbers would actually back up Georgia fans who feel this way because South Carolina, since 2008, according to Tom Fornelli, CBS Sports, has actually gone 14-5-1 as an underdog at home. That doesn't mean that South Carolina has won all those games. It just simply means they have, to use Lee Corso's old phrase, been closer than the experts thought they'd be. They've covered the spread since 2008, more often than not, to the tune of 14-5-1. South Carolina has done exactly that. Georgia right now about a 15-point favorite against South Carolina. Will this game be closer than the experts think? I still think no, but some data suggests that the Gamecocks have been a little bit of a live dog there at home. How about Florida, though, conversely kind of the opposite? And this just sort of speaks to what a middling program Florida has become, because if you're going back to 2008 here, you're also including kind of the end of the Urban Meyer era when the Gators were pretty good, and admittedly probably not an underdog very much. But since 2008, once again, Tom Fornelli, CBS Sports, letting us know the Gators just 13-22 against the spread as an underdog. This is a team that when it has, you know, been, you know, facing competition as good as itself, better than itself, it hasn't shown much signs of life whatsoever there. And, you know, we talked on SEC Country Live yesterday about the pretty interesting stat from Chris Felica, the Bear from ESPN, who let us know since Meyer's final year in 2010, that's eight seasons, Florida's only won eight games in three of those years. More often than not, Florida's failed to win eight games since 2008. More often than not, not really keeping it close as an underdog, or at least as close as the experts thought they should. It's a Florida team that has been a long time since the Gators' glory days. Kind of an interesting thing to think about. Another team that Georgia plays here in 2018, another sort of narrative, maybe somewhat proven true, kind of here. Obviously, Georgia goes to LSU in October. Road game at Baton Rouge, another stadium known as Death Valley. Smart money seems to suggest this will be a night game. The reputation here is, oh, you don't want to play LSU at night. What's the phrase they like to use when the sun takes its home in the western sky? You don't want to be at Death Valley then. And from a straight-up standpoint, LSU's been good. According to Tom Fornelli, 45-7 at night at home since 2008. Against the spread, maybe not quite as much. Just 23-29 in that same span against the spread. What that may tell you is LSU's pretty good at beating up on the bad teams at home. Maybe not handling its business against the really good teams under the lights there at Death Valley quite as much, but that's something to think about as Georgia goes to LSU later on. A couple other quick stats let me give you as a part of our SEC through here. The reputation of Auburn not being great away from Jordan-Hare Stadium. Tom Fornelli's got a number that backs that up. Since 2008, just 25-33 against the spread away from Jordan-Hare Stadium. The other big takeaway about Auburn, though, is since 2008, they haven't been that great against the spread at home either. This is actually, at least based on the gambling metrics, kind of a middling program, which is a little bit more surprising than I would have expected. One final one here. Tennessee, Neyland Stadium, the 100,000 seats. I've told you before, I can remember back in the 80s and the early 90s when having 100,000 seats in the stadium was a pretty big deal, the kind of thing that made Tennessee sort of stand out from the pack a bit. Neyland Stadium had a reputation. It does not have a reputation anymore because as an underdog in SEC games at home since 2008, according to Tom Fornelli, Tennessee just 5-15 against the spread. They are not scaring anybody that comes in as a favorite to Neyland Stadium from the SEC there, which is another example of why Tennessee's had a lot of turnover and turmoil with its coaching staff since 2008. Pretty interesting stuff. Tom Fornelli, CBS Sports, good job there. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, it's kind of our time now to kind of dive into our Dog Day Q&A. We've explained the reason why we do the Dog Day Q&A before. This is just kind of our way of loosening up the format a bit for the summer, what you kind of typically think of as the dog days of summer. We kind of take a different spin on that. We call it our DAWG, our Dog Day Q&A. Allow you a little bit more flexibility to kind of weigh in on our show about what you think about Georgia football. I started the show today by talking about Jake Fromm and Justin Fields and examples of how both those guys seemingly are working hard this summer. And I've also sort of given you my prediction over and over again about how I think the quarterback competition eventually plays out. I think that Justin Fields is a dynamic backup, and eventually I believe he'll probably be a star at Georgia. For now, though, I think the Dogs have a solid starter who's going to be almost impossible to unseat in Jake Fromm. That's my opinion. I'd love to hear you weigh in with yours. If you're listening on the radio or to our podcast, you could, of course, reach out to me on Twitter, at Dog Nation Daily. But if you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on YouTube, we may even squeeze in a Twitter comment or two here. You can comment right now. We'll look forward to taking your comments as a part of our Dog Day Q&A. In fact, let me pull up the comments right now. I'm a little bit behind on getting the comments up and running here, so I'll get these going and we will take some comments here today. And as I mentioned before, one of the things that I have really enjoyed about the way that people have sort of weighed in on this Fromm Fields topic over the last few weeks, even though Georgia fans are sort of passionate on both sides here, you've got plenty of dog fans who love Jake Fromm, plenty of dog fans who kind of love Justin Fields. What we really have not seen a whole lot of yet is fans desiring to see this sort of veer in the direction of a controversy. Georgia fans have been pretty united on this. As I've said before, I think there's a contrast here to the Alabama situation, in which Jalen Hurts' family has talked publicly, in which, Tua Tagovailoa himself has talked publicly. I think there's a degree of evidence that the Alabama quarterback situation may at some point in time veer off the tracks a bit, and that may become a bit of a controversy with both sides speaking out publicly more than I think they should. We haven't really seen that too much from Georgia. I think Georgia fans should be credited with how they've spoken about it here as well. So we will kind of weigh in on that right now. Ryan Wilbank says, my opinion is that Fields, by his sophomore year, if he's not starting, he will transfer his junior year. That's just my opinion with all the transfers going on now. And Ryan, you know, Kirby Smart himself has talked about the difficulty of keeping quarterbacks on campus and happy when they're not playing. And there's obviously a chance that this Fromm Fields competition, if you sort of, you know, extrapolate over the course of years, there may be a clear winner at one point. And the guy that's not the clear winner there, he may look to go elsewhere. I would also suggest there's a chance this works out just fine for Georgia, that for a multitude of reasons, you find opportunities for both these guys to get a chance to play and both these guys to get a chance to be happy here. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion that this will end badly with one of these guys leaving, but that's obviously a risk that you take when you stock the roster as much as Georgia has stocked it. J.C. Howell also on Facebook, actually, let me get Terrence Eberhardt, who says, it better play out with the best quarterback to win a national championship. That's obviously what Terrence Eberhardt wants there. And I think one of the things you can be glad about when it comes to Kirby Smart is what I believe from Smart is a commitment here to play the best guy. I think one of the things that got Nick Saban in trouble at Alabama last year was I think the players in practice knew that Tua was better, and yet they still saw Jalen Hurts playing during the season. I think that Kirby Smart's going to handle his competition in a more authentic fashion, and I do think that will help. And as the commenter says, it also has a chance to one day lead Georgia maybe to a national championship. We'll look forward to watching that. All right, we'll have more comments on video in just a moment on both Facebook and on YouTube here. And, of course, for the folks listening to us either on the radio or the podcast, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. I'll look forward to continuing that conversation with you there. For now, though, let's get ready to wrap up our program. Of course, we do it every day. It's our Gatorator Countdown. The reason why we do it is because we believe a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater first and foremost. And 123 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville, gets another win over the Florida Gators. Those lousy, stinking Gators, as we like to say. We think Georgia does that 123 days from right now. Also, let me say this. I guess Damon Evans, I'm going to stop short of saying congratulations. I don't really hold any ill will against Damon Evans, although he did embarrass the University of Georgia. But he does sort of rise from the ashes here now to once again be another AD at Maryland once again. So kind of an interesting reclamation story there from Damon Evans as he moves on to the next phase of his career. We'll see you tomorrow.